I don't think he's got an outstanding characteristic. You had to force my hand to go back to the breakfast buffet. I didn't want to do it. My interpretation is he's talking out of his ass. You know, maybe go out and get a beet salad for me or something, or some pizza at least. Boy, that could certainly help the Bucks win some ball games.
Buccaneers fans, here he is, Ira Kaufman, working all through the summer. He is the sage of Tampa Bay sports, the baron of Big Storm beer, Mr. Bill Curry Ford himself, the king of Newport Richie, Uncle Ira, the custodian of Canton. His trip to Canton is not too far away for the induction of Rondé Barber, but first comes the early days of training camp, and Ira will be out there. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. Lee DeCamper of JoeBucksFan.com is not here. He's on sabbatical. More research for Lee, Ira, more research. But we've got a lot to talk about. I've got some fan questions for you that I put out there on Twitter. So that's always fun to throw those to you, Ira. That's always nice. Fans can catch up on our podcasts at Apple Podcasts, JoeBucksFan.com, Google Podcasts, Podbean. Last podcast, Lee was back with us, so that was kind of cool. A lot of good discussion there, Ira. I go back and listen to these things, and I was actually impressed, so that was good. But all the fun is always presented by Bill Curry Ford. They've got pickup and delivery available for both sales and service at the dealership, Ira. Pickup and delivery. They've got their summer sales event. So many great things going on. Bill Curry Ford, family-owned, a mile north of Raymond James Stadium. Family-owned dealership, nationwide lifetime warranty on new vehicles. Sean Sullivan, the general manager, he's also our JoeBucksFan.com draft guru, loves Bucks fans. He's given everybody $500 if they order a new vehicle, no deposit. And it's so easy through their concierge ordering system if you want to go online at BillCurryFord.com. Sean's also got his meet or beat any Ford dealer's best offer. Otherwise, he's going to give you $500 cash. You can find out about that at BillCurryFord.com. Such a great dealership, Ira. We're fired up. We're going to be out there early in training camp recording a podcast. I'm going to tell Sean about it, but we're coming out into the Bill Curry Ford studios. It's going to be fun. And just remember Bill Curry Ford when you start shopping for a vehicle. Just go there, check them out, give them a chance. They'll earn your business. You'll be glad you went there. Sean Sullivan is there for you personally, and he's got that Ira Kaufman discount. It's not a joke. You just mention Ira to Sean, and it's going to happen. And we thank our friends at Florida's Elite Restoration, floridaselite restoration.com. Don't mess around. Call them first before you call your insurance company if you have a disaster in your home, flood, fire, mold. And don't assume it's no big deal. Call before you call your insurance company. They will come out. Florida's Elite Restoration, do a full assessment and evaluation of your property. It's free, and they will tell you what to do next and advise you and guide you. It's valuable to have somebody you trust, and that's Florida's Elite Restoration owner, Josh Martin. He's got decades with his partners of experience on the insurance side of things, so he's going to make sure you don't get ripped off. He'll give you $500 if when you call Florida's Elite Restoration, you mention Ira or Joe Bucks fan, and then once they come out and check out your property, if you move forward with them, you'll get that $500, and maybe that's for your deductible or just cash back. Floridaselite Restoration.com. Sage, I hope you're having your Big Storm beer. How are you, Ira?
I'm just chipper, my friend. Got the cast off my left arm today.
All right.
Yeah, got a little splint that I can take on and off. It didn't look bad, Steve. It's far from 100%. Fractured wrist. I didn't expect it to be 100%, but it could have been a lot worse. That cast never got itchy. I had it on for 6 weeks. I heard all these stories about people trying to jam a clothes hanger up there because they're going crazy with the itching. I didn't have any of that, Steve, so I'm happy on that front. More importantly, Steve, we're a little over a week away from the start of training camp. Can't wait to reacquaint myself with readers and listeners of Joe Bucks fan in this podcast. They always give me a good greeting. For guys that are haven't been out much to camp before, you can't miss me. You can't miss me. I'm the guy with the white towel slung over his shoulder, Steve. You've seen it many years. I'm the only guy that brings it out there. I don't want flop sweat when I'm trying to talk to Todd Bowles. I can't have that.
What did you call that? Flop sweat?
Flop sweat. That means, you're panicky, you're flopping, and it's flop sweat. I can't have it, Steve. So I got my towel, I'll have a hat, sunglasses, little bottle of water in my hand. If you see me, say hello. Got any suggestions for Joe Bucks fan? Got any comments? Good or bad? We don't care. We want to hear from you. And, you know, training camp, Steve, on the one hand, it's hot, it's sweaty, it's grueling. And I'm not even a player. But you know what? It's a necessary function to get your team ready. And this year in particular, we have some competitive situations on this football team that we're really not used to around here.
Yeah, it feels like it's been a while, Ira, but I've got a picture of you with that trademark towel. I'm going to throw it out on social media. I'm going to tag you. I hope that you'll retweet it, Ira, because it is legendary, and it'll help fans recognize you. You got your hat on. It's a classic. Ira Kaufman at training camp. Most things most likely to hear from Ira during training camp, during a morning practice, is the following quote, Ira. You ready?
All right.
What's for lunch, guys?
That's outstanding. I usually start off by asking the PR people, any national guys here, any national people, because I don't get to see them that often, you know, and a lot of them are Hall of Fame voters. So, you know, we haven't done that in person in 3 or 4 years. So I don't get to see these people a lot. Now, some of them, Steve, and you well know this, the last 2 or 3 years, they've been to many Buck games, Steve. You can't keep them out of Buck games. They love Tampa Airport. They're flying in from San Francisco. They're flying in from New York. They love Tampa Airport. They stay at the Marriott Airport Hotel. It's convenient. Sometimes they get a car. Sometimes they don't even need a car. They Uber to the stadium. And then, of course, you know, the Bucks had Tom Brady. So when they're talking to their boss, hey, where are you going in 2 weeks? Going to the Bucks Washington game. What? That game doesn't matter. Oh, it's got Tom Brady. All right, go ahead, go book it. So some of these people I've been seeing a lot during Buck games, but I'm looking forward to seeing a few other people. But generally speaking, Steve, and you know this, from a national perspective, there will be fewer people at Buck training camp than there have been the last 3 years. No question about that.
All right, Sage, I threw it out on Twitter for some fan questions for you. I've got three of them. I didn't give much time, but the replies came. So here you go. You ready? We're going to honor these fans first before we get to some important things going on.
I want you to place them in ascending order of difficulty, Steve.
Ascending order of difficulty? I only got three, so I can't screw it up too bad. All right, I'll give you the most difficult one first.
Ready.
Ira, who could be a surprise cut come training camp?
Wow. Right off the bat, Steve. Right off the bat. Russell Gage. I don't expect it, but if he's hurt, which he is all too often since he signed that contract with the Bucks, they might work out some kind of an injury settlement. Bowles could throw his hand up. I've had enough. The guy's just not available. I don't think it'll happen because they don't have a natural third receiver. Steve, unless this Trey Palmer impresses during camp, it could happen. He's got something that the rest of them don't, which is 4.3, 4.4 speed. I don't believe Gage has it at this point in his career. Palmer brings a different dimension. So we shall see. That would be the shocker, Russell Gage.
Yeah, I hear you, Sage. I know his contract after he redid it a little bit is guaranteed. So, of course, it would be a surprise there on that front. But you never know. If he is hurt, like you said, there could be some sort of settlement. That's a tough question, mainly because the Bucks sort of need all the bodies that they have, and they've already purged a reasonable share of veterans.
Yes.
I would be surprised on a lot of fronts, so I won't even touch that one. But the Sage has spoken, and I'll go to the next one, Ira. This is from Mike at BucksFan552. The other one was from Austin. Ira, I've been a Bucks fan since 1987. I feel like Baker Mayfield reminds me of Bucks free agent quarterbacks of old, like Jeff Garcia, Brian Greasy, Steve DeBerg, Chris Chandler, etc. Any thoughts on who he might remind you of from the older years?
I don't think he's got the mobility of Jeff Garcia. I was thinking of Jake Plummer. He doesn't have that kind of mobility either. Maybe like Chris Chandler, something like that. And he's a guy. Chris Chandler's the guy that made the move, Steve, on Chris Sims, isn't he? No, maybe I'm wrong. I might have the wrong time period for Chandler. But he was a Buck for a year or two, didn't distinguish himself. Mayfield, you know, I don't think he's got an outstanding characteristic Steve, except for his lack of height. So you certainly wouldn't put Chris Sims up there against him, or Mike Glennon, who was a big guy. I'm thinking Chris Chandler, who was kind of pedestrian, so I hope he's better than Chris Chandler.
All right, you're scaring people, man. Chris Chandler was with the Bucks 1 year in 1990. He was 0-3 as a starter, threw one touchdown, one touchdown, six picks, and that was it. It was very early in his career. He went on to do some good things, made a couple of Pro Bowls with the Falcons in much more modern times, late 90s. But awful with the Bucks and young, and you know, we don't want that to happen. But maybe later we'll take a later version of Chris Chandler, that's for sure.
That's right. So this is the later version of Baker Mayfield. There you go.
We'll take that, Ira, as an answer. And the last one, Sage, comes from Think Lab Studios. He says this chatter, and we'll get to this, Ira, that maybe there's a tiny chance of Tom Brady coming back. Could Dave Canales make a revised offense work at the last minute to accommodate Brady and his style?
I can't believe this story's got legs, Steve. Maybe I shouldn't be surprised. Come on, you're better than that.
No, Sage, we wrote about it first at joebucksfan.com. No surprise, Antoine Winfield was on Richard Sherman's podcast, and he was asked, of course, about Tom Brady. And he said, he didn't say maybe or, you know, whatever. He just said, I'm sure that they're still in contact with Tom Brady trying to get him back here for opening day, and you never know. And Richard Sherman, of course, who knows Tom Brady, and said, hey, you know, nothing can be certain with that guy, and, you know, I wouldn't put it past him. And Winfield responded, it's all up in the air, man. And, hey, he said it, so I wrote it up. Now, of course, I don't really believe that Antoine Winfield has been talking to Jason Light and revealed something, but he said it. And what does that really reflect, Ira? What's your thought about that comment in general?
Steve, I was listening very carefully to the way you phrased the comment, and my interpretation is he's talking out of his ass. Excuse my English. He did not get that from Buck management. He did not get that from Buck ownership. And I think he surmised that as a general principle, we can't give up on Brady. If there's a chance, we, you know, try to get him back. Steve, here's the irony in the whole situation. If Brady wanted to come back to football, which I think is highly unlikely, would he pick one Buck place, Steve? Now you'd say, well, how many suitors would he have? How many open jobs are there? Well, there's some. And Steve, given the condition of where the Bucks are at this point in the arc of the franchise, with Tom Brady, they would not be listed as Super Bowl contenders. Probably be favored to win the division, probably. But would Brady want to come back to Tampa? You know, there's so many facets to this, Steve. I don't think he's coming back to football, period. And if he comes back, I think he's done in Tampa. And I think Tampa's done with him. From a selfish standpoint, we kind of hope it happens. But I'm listing it at 3%, Steve, 3%.
Well, you know what, Ira, we have a ton of interest with or without Tom Brady. Thank goodness. That's the way it is around here. However, I will agree with you as it relates to Winfield. I do think he was talking out of his ass. The exact quote is, I'm sure we're still reaching out to him, trying to see if he's trying to come back to the team. Hey, it could happen. Anything's possible. That was what Antoine Winfield said. I'm sure we're still reaching out. I don't buy it. However, maybe on some level it's true. Maybe they poke him a little bit. Maybe, and I will say this, I disagree with you that the Bucks wouldn't be on Brady's list of teams to go to. I think number one, he would want to go to the NFC because the quarterbacks are, it's a weak quarterback conference, and that's probably anywhere in the NFC is probably his best shot, his best pathway to get back to the Super Bowl. And that's number one. Number two, Brady's got a big ego. If he believes he can play, then he believes he can get a team over the hump. Not that he would think the Bucs are the number one team, but I assure you Brady would look at the Bucs and say, I can win that division. I'll worry about the rest in January. We'll get better along the way. So I do think if he was really thinking about it, that the Bucks would be very high on the list. On top of being in Florida and all that, you know, maybe he starts crying at home and weeping and goes into a depression when training camp starts because he's not playing And maybe his daughter says to him, "Dad, just go play football. You can do it. We love you. We'll work it out." I could see something crazy like that happening with him. Am I out of my mind, Ira?
A little bit, Steve. Although I'll say this, you know, to your point about one buck place not looking so outlandish to Brady if he comes back, a lot of landing spots have been filled, Steve. There aren't a lot of quarterback competitions around the league. New Orleans, you know, they got Derek Carr now. That could have been a spot for Brady. Team that's with Brady, a dangerous team. Well, now they got Derek Carr. They're not moving on from him. You know, Carolina's got their guy. I don't think he'd want to go to Atlanta. So, Washington, they got garbage at quarterback. But I think the Bucs might have a better roster. It's fun to talk about, but it's something that's just not going to happen.
We're not going to revive the Brady. People don't want to hear about it. I think a lot of Bucs fans don't. But it certainly is interesting, Sage. Keeping on the Antoine Winfield front, in that interview, he mentioned, like a lot of players don't mention, Ira, he mentioned money. Winfield was very open that, hey, this is my contract year, and I need more interceptions, and that's how you get paid, interceptions, turnovers, and staying healthy. And, you know, a lot of players, I wrote about it, that last year when I asked Sean Murphy Bunting about the contract year, he just didn't want to talk about it. In the summer, he felt very uncomfortable and was like, I'm not about that, and, you know, things will happen. And he was very uncomfortable. Yet I talked to Jamel Dean on the same topic, and he was like, hey, man, I got to break the bank this year. This is it. Go get the money. And everybody's different. But what do you think about Winfield's comments regarding the takeaways? The quote was, I got to get my interceptions up. You know, it's a contract year. I'm happy. I'm excited. So making sure I touch that ball and stay healthy. Those are the two big goals.
That contract year, Steve, for anybody that's out there picking up a paycheck in professional sports, it's one hell of a motivator, Steve. It's a hell of a motivator. Didn't Doug Martin have that big bounce back second big season when it was a contract year? I thought he did. Maybe 2015.
Absolutely, he did. Absolutely.
And then you never heard from him again, Steve. Now, I'm not saying that would happen necessarily with Antoine Winfield. Of course, here we go with Devin White. Steve, instead of taking on the Antoine Winfield posture, which is, hey, I got to show more. I gotta show them that I'm worth a big deal. And that's Antoine Winfield's philosophy right now. Highly motivated to be a ball hawk. Boy, that could certainly help the Bucs win some ball games, Steve. If he, Dean, and Davis combined, can they get 10 or 11 interceptions between them? Is that asking too much? Three guys come up with 11 interceptions. In the old days, that wasn't too much to ask anyway. And now you got Devin White, you know, looking for a big payday. And instead of saying, hey, they want more from me, and I'm going to deliver the best season I've ever had and give them no choice but to show me the money. And instead, he's taking a little bit of a different tack. Steve, we don't even know if he's showing up next week. Maybe he is, maybe he isn't. Maybe showing up, maybe you won't practice. Who knows what's going through Devin White's mind? But I'll tell you this, Steve, and you know I'm right. If he pulls a stunt to training camp, Buck fans will turn on him. The ones that haven't already, they will turn on him in an LSU minute. It won't take long, Steve. They'll be all over that guy.
They will. And like we said last podcast, we'll see what Devin White has to say. I mean, all the words you just put in his mouth on a positive front, he may say all of those things a week from Wednesday. It's possible. Or, you know, it could go a different route. But I don't mind the guys talking about money. They're all thinking it, you know, might as well just put it out there, and it's okay. It's okay to want to, you know, do your best and make some money. I was thinking about it, Ira, when you mentioned this. This is your contract year at JoeBucksFan.com. Our last agreement was for a couple of years on some things.
Tell me more about it, Della. Didn't we already pass year 7? We didn't have an anniversary, Steve. We should have had an anniversary.
Next week at training camp will be your 7-year anniversary. And, yeah, we'll do something for you, Ira. We'll do something for you.
You know, I think Bowles and Mike Evans should get together. You know, maybe go out and get a beet salad for me or something. Or some pizza, at least. We'll celebrate together. So, 7 years. Wow. They call it the 7-year itch, Steve. I don't have an itch. I'm very happy where I am. You guys treat me good, and we'll talk about it more next week.
Maybe we'll get you some new index cards, a new Rolodex, perhaps some pencils. Yeah, that kind of thing.
I haven't gotten on your case to get a new computer because you bought me the last one. I got to think it's 3 or 4 years ago. Haven't had any problems with it. Haven't asked you for an upgrade. You guys came through for me. Oh, I forgot the brand name of the laptop, Steve. Do you remember what I got?
I don't know. All right, we're going to move on, Sage. Hey, you know what? You know what you can do, Ira? The entire month of July at Big Storm Brewery in Clearwater, they've got a foot-long hot dog special, a legitimate foot-long. It looks fantastic. And 10% of all the proceeds from that go to CFY Pinellas. It's an organization with a mission to uplift the youth of Pinellas County by providing access to athletics and other skill-building programs where kids can learn, play, grow together. It's all at Big Storm Brewery in Clearwater. You can follow all the Big Storm tap rooms on social media. Big news at Big Storm, Ira. Not just their Centro Ybor location upstairs, a new location, all the great live music and everything, but their Sunny Key Lime, the wheat ale, I'm a big fan. It received gold in the American Berry Fruit category at the 2023 U.S. Beer Open Competition. Sunny Key Lime, fantastic. They pulled in some other awards, but that was the big gold medal. BigStormBrewery.com. You can see all the beers. You can see all the menus at the tap rooms, Odessa, Tap Room, Cape Coral, Ybor, Orlando at the Amway Center. And you can get into the Category Club membership there. They've got all their different beers they roll out, you know, for storm season, Category 1, Category 2, which is a Belgian beer. Fantastic. Check it all out, BigStormBrewery.com. We'll get you a hot dog, Ira. All right, Sage, wanted to run this past you because it's a little important. Levante David was on SiriusXM NFL Radio. He had a couple of things to say. One of them was about Baker Mayfield. Now, they asked him about the quarterback competition, of course, and David said very, very little about Kyle Trask, and he said this about Baker Mayfield. What he actually said about Trask, Ira, he knows the kind of player that Trask is. He didn't give any specifics. And he said it's been great that Kyle's been able to, quote, take in the offense and be able to, you know, kind of like lead guys and stuff like that. That was all he said. Baker Mayfield, he talked about how Baker's been there. He's been the guy in the NFL. He's got a lot to live up to because of where he was drafted and what he's done. And he said, quote, Baker is great for our locker room. I like the way Baker carries himself, coming in with a ready-to-work mentality. Everybody loves him already. And the way he approaches practice is great to see. So there's definitely some great things to see out of Baker. He's a guy who's done it before, took his team to the playoffs, blah, blah, blah. So the competition with those guys is going to be very, very competitive, and I'm glad to be a part of it, et cetera, et cetera. He mentioned that they're having fun with the competition, meaning he and Trask. So a lot to say about Mayfield there and that the guys love him in the locker room and not much about Trask. What's your thought there?
I think it's significant, Steve. I think it's a telltale sign. I think he's speaking for a lot of Buck veterans, maybe the Carlton Davises of the world, the Ryan Jensens of the world that don't want to come out and say it. Maybe they will if they're asked. Steve, put yourself in the position of one Levante David. Steve, he's 33. He's not signed past this season. There's a chance, and it's not an obscure chance, that this will be Levante David's final year in the NFL. If the Bucs have a bad season, he'd probably have to go somewhere else because that would mean, you know, a full rebuild around another quarterback. And they probably would move on from Levante David and, you know, he might call it a career at that point. So, Steve, that's where these quotes are coming from. A veteran who wants to win the division and have a long playoff run, and without saying it, Steve, it's pretty clear that Levante David and others, I think, believe that Mayfield gives them the best chance to win. They don't want to use those exact words, Steve, but it all fits a pattern. Steve, I wouldn't say Trask has no chance. You always have a chance. But Mayfield's going to have to be mediocre or worse, and Trask is going to have to be outstanding. Now, Steve, having said that, I sent you a column the other day where I talked about this competition, and I think it's important that this is not a sham competition. Because everybody's watching, Steve. And, you know, the young guys, you know, they don't know much about Baker Mayfield. Cody Mauch doesn't know anything about Baker Mayfield. He was in college when Mayfield was having a good year with the Browns in 2020. So Trask has earned a shot. He's kept his mouth shut. He's handled himself well at the podium. Now, that is not going to win you the job. You got to go out there on the grass and win it. But I don't think this should be sham. I think Bowles, even if he's leaning towards Mayfield, which I believe he is, has to go in and acknowledge, let the better man win. And I mean, I've heard some people, Mike Florio, who we respect a lot for what he's done in this business through hard work, and he's a friend of the program and the website. We know that. But I saw something he did with Chris Sims where he talked about, I don't think Bowles should let this competition thing go on for very long, because I think it's very important that the winner of the duel has enough time to prepare for the start of the regular season. Steve, I'm not worried about that, and neither is Todd Bowles. He was asked about that a month ago and said he has no concerns about the timing, nor should he. Steve, my final point before I turn it over to you on this issue is the most important thing is getting this thing right. And when I look at the calendar, I could see something like after the second preseason game. Steve, you'll be up in New York for those joint practices with the Jets. And to me, that is a natural time for Bowles to make an official announcement. That would give the guy 3 weeks to prepare for the Vikings. Steve, if you can't prepare for the Minnesota Vikings in 3 weeks, you shouldn't have the job. So I'm not worried about, as this goes on, you're taking reps away from the guy that's the eventual number one guy. I think that's all manufactured. You got to get this thing right. You got to make the right pick. It's probably going to be Winfield, but crazier things have happened, Steve. You got to have a legitimate competition.
Of course, you meant Mayfield, but I didn't stop you there.
What did I say? Winfield?
Winfield, yeah. A couple of things about that, Ira. First, the Buccaneers' preseason opener is against Pittsburgh in Tampa. And do you think who walks out there for that preseason opener is important? And before you answer that, let me run this past you. What's going to happen when the Buccaneers the following week head to New Jersey to go up against excellent Jets defense and Aaron Rodgers and all that circus that'll be there for two practices? They'll be going against each other, be very physical, very scripted, and yes, Mayfield's going to get a ton of targeted work, I believe, as the number one quarterback in those practices. And that's the work that's going to really show them a lot. But I don't expect any announcement. I mean, if he does what they want him to do up to that point and looks good in those practices, I think it's his job. Even if they trot Trask out as the starter on Saturday with not a ton of guys playing as far as starters because they got the work in during the week, I think Bowles wants to let this thing extend unless it becomes so glaringly obvious, because there's obviously something he likes about making this a competition. I don't think that's going to go away so quickly, but I want your thoughts on that. And who do you think goes out there for that opening preseason game?
Whoever goes out for the Pittsburgh game, I think the other guys should go out against the Jets. To be fair. I don't think a decision is going to be made before the Jets game, but I do agree, Steve, with your central point. I think you're right. Those two joint practices, and you're going to be all over it, Stevie. I know you. You got the binoculars focused. You're going to graph, chart every snap. I think that could be the determining factor, the two joint practices. The Bucs film crew will be there in earnest, covering every angle. And I think they're going to keep going over and over that tape against the Jets. And it will be physical. Yes, it will be. And maybe Robert Saleh will throw some things at the two quarterbacks. You know, he's a pretty darn good defensive mind, Saleh. That's how he made his bones in San Fran. And John Lynch put a lot of trust in him. And it turns out, it was the catapult for a head coaching job. I think he wants to test his defense. And he's got a lot of pride in that unit. Steve, those joint practices, maybe even more than that preseason game that's going to follow 2 days later after the second joint practice, I think that's going to go a long way in determining the winner. It's probably going to be Mayfield, but it's not carved in stone. And it should not be carved in stone.
I can't help but smile because every time I hear Robert Saleh, I think of 2 years ago at the owners' meetings in Palm Beach. There we are.
Classic moment, Steve. Classic.
There we are. Ira and myself, we're walking in this area where there's a buffet breakfast going on. Robert Saleh is sitting there by himself. He's eating breakfast. Ira stops over, says hello, and says, Bobby, can we sit down and eat with you? And he says,
don't even know the guy.
Don't even know the guy. And he says, yeah,
and
sure.
And Steve, we were talking about the safety, right, that the Jets just plucked from the Bucks.
Yeah, we were talking, but he said, yeah, sure. So here we are sitting and eating with Robert Saleh for breakfast, just us. Of course, it forced us to get another plate of food. We had already had breakfast, and then we were talking about Whitehead and some other things. Classic, absolute classic. Sage calls him Bobby.
You know, Steve, you had to force my hand to go back to the breakfast buffet. I didn't want to do it, Steve. I wasn't going to do it, Steve. I had quite enough. You know me.
almost as classic at the owners' meetings when Tom Coughlin, you caught him in the hallway years ago, and he said, hey, Ira, and he walks by, and you grabbed his arm. You grabbed Tom Coughlin's arm to talk to you. And he like turned like, oh, who the hell's grabbing my arm? And he didn't back off. You got your conversation in. Classic. Absolute classic.
Didn't Goodell give me some kind of a bear hug a couple of years ago in Palm Beach when I wanted to shake his hand or something? Remember?
Yeah. There's been a couple of Goodell hugs over the years. It's just kind of funny. But
what is your concern level, Steve? What is your level of concern that this quarterback competition, in quotes, might take so long that it actually hurts the guy that's eventually going to win the job in terms of reps and preparation for the Vikings? Are you worried about that?
You know, you mentioned that you think it's sort of a silly take from Mike Florio, and but I've heard others make the same point, Rich Eisen and others. I think it's a little overblown because how many reps these guys get. Ultimately, the team decides how many reps they get based on tempo they want to run, how they want to run practice, and just all the things that they do. So it's not just a fixed number of reps and, oh, this guy's going to lose a bunch of reps. It's not necessarily like that. However, I get the mindset of, you know, if coaches value practice this much and every coach everywhere says we don't practice as much as we used to and we need more hitting and practice time and live reps and all this stuff, well, then you would think your number one guy, the earlier that he's named, the better off, especially with a new offensive coordinator and everything that goes with that. But I don't think it's the biggest deal in the world. I really don't, Ira. But I do think the quarterback competition, it's a little dangerous from the standpoint of these things can get really messy, really, really messy. You know, all of a sudden, Mayfield tweaks something and he's got to sit, he tweaks a calf and he's got to miss 8 days of practice. Well, then what? And and vice versa. What if Kyle Trask goes out there in week one and shocks you? And now you've got, maybe the tenor of the relationship between the two guys changes a bit. And the players are a little confused. Cause I think it's fair to say, like you mentioned before, right now the players believe, yeah, it's a competition, but Mayfield's got the edge and he feels like the guy, but that can change in a hurry. And it can sort of, do some things to your team. I don't know if they're, competition is sort of always good, but Bruce Arians and others have always said competition at the quarterback position is a mess. And if you got two quarterbacks, you have none. The answer is somewhere, the answer is somewhere in between. And of course, worst case scenario is both guys don't look too good in the preseason. And then, Todd Bowles is, he's not going to be sleeping too well.
And Steve, in terms of the timing, and I mentioned after the second preseason game, Steve, it's worth noting, and Canales was heavily involved last year in Seattle. You know, the Geno Smith competition was not officially decided until after the final preseason game when Drew Lock was awful against the Cowboys. Basically took himself out of the competition, although who knows, by that point, maybe Pete Carroll knew that it was going to be Smith, but it was after the final preseason game, so... You know, and what happened, Steve? Seattle had a pretty good season, and Geno Smith had a hell of a season, even though the announcement came late. So you never know, Steve. I think the key is make the right call. Make the right call that everybody on the team will rally around and go with the best guy.
And there's a couple of interesting layers. I know Lee hates preseason. We've heard his rant for years, but this preseason is a very, very interesting one. First, I'll say, Ira, because Baker Mayfield has not had a lot of success against Pittsburgh. And I understand that's the first preseason game and defenses play a little vanilla, but so do offenses. And Mike Tomlin's been known to do some things and shake some things up to fire up his team. And there may be some guys on that in that secondary who or on that defense who, yeah, maybe they've been on the wrong end of some Mayfield trash talk over the years. And you know, that might be something that's in Mayfield's head as far as a Tomlin defense a little bit. Then you've got the unique situation with the Jets being a strong defensive team, those joint practices. But then the final game, Ira, is really intriguing because the Ravens play every preseason game all out. That's the John Harbaugh way. I think they've got a 24-game winning streak or something in preseason. So,
you know, and they're always physical, Steve.
Yeah,
they're always physical.
Yeah. So I mean, you're going to have some games here where it's going to be really difficult for the offense to perform, and obviously they should be up to it. It's an NFL offense, but not a preseason that you can really count on things going exactly the way you might want them to go.
I wouldn't mind having an official announcement before the Baltimore preseason finale, and then having the number one guy sit that game out. That wouldn't bother me.
Well, I don't think the number one guy will sit because they got to be ready. But I think you'll get an announcement by then. It'll make this preseason, this summer fun for sure. No one's rooting against Kyle Trask, especially here, or at least here at Joe Bucks Fan World headquarters. But you said you don't want this to be a sham competition. There's some sham-ish kind of elements to it, but you know, it's still got to play out on the field. The Drew Lock thing, Ira, to close that out, I was told that it really came down to a few throws. That's what I was told it came down to, that competition. And they sort of acknowledged, I guess, in some ways that it was legit and that all that was honest because the Seahawks brought Lock back as a well-paid backup this year. So it's not like they pretended to like him. All right, Ira, look, we got another podcast coming up this week. We've got Bill Curry Ford ready to serve every single Bucks fan out there. BillCurryFord.com. Same with Florida's Elite Restoration. They're open 24/7. Don't hesitate to call them if you have a disaster in your home or business. Florida'sElite Restoration.com. And our thanks to Big Storm Beer, the official beer of the Ira Kaufman podcast and the official place for Ira to stuff his face for road games this season. Should be a lot of fun. Sage, final thought or anything still on your mind that you want to get out there, Ira?
Yeah, one final thought, Stevie. I was very interested in a documentary, three-part documentary tonight on Showtime. And, Steve, I was really looking forward to it. It's about Wilt Chamberlain. Now, there was a Bill Russell documentary, three parts, a couple of months back, which was very well done. So I was looking forward to Chamberlain. You know, I'm a Sixer fan, Steve, for a long time. And I never believed that Wilt was a loser. I just thought Russell was fantastic, the ultimate winner, and he had better players around him. For most of Wilt's career, Russell had better players. I think the 62 Celtics, Steve, had 8 Hall of Fame players. 8! So anyway, 10 o'clock rolls around, and I put it on. And Steve, it's hard to screw up a documentary about somebody as compelling as Wilt Chamberlain, but it was very pedestrian. I thought they did a lousy job. Steve, who did they talk to? And instead of talking about Chamberlain's contemporaries, and I understand many of them have passed away. You know, he came into the league in 1959 or 60. I understand that. But I don't want to hear from Bob Ryan, formerly the Boston Globe, and Jackie McMullen, who wasn't even born when Chamberlain came into the league. You know, there were some amateurish elements of the documentary. They used artificial intelligence to have Chamberlain's voice on some things. I was just bummed out a little bit. I think Chamberlain gets a bad rap. I think he was a lot more fun to be around than Bill Russell, who was kind of a surly sort. We know he loved women. Boy, did he love women, Steve.
I got to say, I really appreciate, because I know it excites our listeners when you bring up the 62 Celtics, gets them talking about what a team that was. Go ahead.
I'll leave it with this, Stephen. And this might get some people to watch part two or part one. They can find it. You can make a strong case that Wilt Chamberlain was the greatest athlete of the 20th century. Yes, you could.
All right, Ira. We'll say goodbye. And if you're looking for something to watch, Ira, in your vintage there, the Reggie documentary on Amazon Prime was fantastic. Well worth watching. Came out this year.
I'm going to go see that, Steve. I'm going to go see that.
Yeah, that will make up for whatever disappointment you had for sure. You'll enjoy it a lot. Some of your colleagues from the 70s and media there is in there. You'll enjoy some of those interviews for sure.
How many parts is that, Steve? How many parts?
It's just one. It's just one big one, about 2 hours, I think.
Okay. Thanks, buddy.
All right, Sage, good luck, and we will talk to you soon. And good luck with the rehab on the wrist. And if you fall on the tennis court, don't call Florida's Elite Restoration. Just call 911, Ira.
Okay.